First Chronicles, please, chapter 4. If you got a Bible, you'd like to follow along with me in the reading. First Chronicles, chapter 4. Well, it's certainly good to see you all. I think I've had three people that told me that they were glad to see me so far. But it's certainly good to see you. Nothing better when you come back than to see people who are sticking by the stuff, continuing on for the glory of God. Certainly an encouragement to my heart. You know you ought to cheer up. It's a lot better than you think it is. It's a whole lot better than you think it is. But then on second thought, maybe you better not cheer up because it's a whole lot worse than you think it is. Just depends on what direction you're looking. Someone said for every one look at the situation, you ought to take 10 looks at the Savior. And if I know anything at all about the spiritual climate of our day, you ought to heed that admonition. For every one look at the situation, take 10 lingering looks at our blessed Lord Jesus. It won't be nearly as long as it has been, and we'll see Him whom our soul loves. There have been a few that have crossed over since Sandra and I left just under a year ago. Someone asked Wesley, they said, what recommendation can you give to this new movement called Methodism? He said, our people die well. Our people die well. Well, that's what true religion ought to do for you. Make you face that last enemy with victory because you have Him who is the victory. Our people die well. That's something we're all going to do if the Lord doesn't come. You'll only be able to die well if you've lived well. God help us to live well. There's a man here in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, who lived well. The Bible said, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. I believe part of the reason why I'm standing before you this morning is because when I first came through this book of 1 Chronicles, almost 24 years ago when I got saved and began reading, I ran upon this little oasis, as it were, in this rather dry portion of God's Word, these genealogical records. And I began to pray the prayer that this man prayed. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve. If the Lord be pleased to help me, I'd like to talk to you for a little while from these two verses about this man Jabez. If you've read through this portion of Scripture, you know that the majority of the names that are mentioned here are that and no more. Just the names of people who lived and had sons and daughters, and the Bible said they died. But when the inspired chronicler was writing this book, the Holy Ghost of God nudged him when he came to Jabez, and he said, this man merits added comment. There's something about him I want you to record so that those that read may know of it. That's why I said to me it's somewhat of a little oasis in a rather dry portion of God's Word. Jabez. We're told here that his name means sorrow, or he who causes sorrow. You know, some people are born with a silver spoon in their mouths. But not this man. He had an unfavorable beginning. I don't know what it was. Maybe his father had died while his mother was carrying him in her womb. We're told here that his mother gave him the name, and generally speaking in Scripture, the father named the children. It could be that she just had a very difficult time. Maybe he was an unwanted child, an added burden, another source of sorrow to a poor, grieving widow in Israel. I don't know why, but I know this. He started out in life with two strikes, as it were, against him. But he rose above it. There are many people that start out with everything on their side, and they produce nothing. And then there are those who, from all outward appearance, ought never to amount to anything. Yet somehow, they rise above it. God help us to somehow imitate this man. I want you to notice three things with me as we look at this portion of Scripture. First of all, this man had an appetite for God. He had a hunger and a thirst for God. He'd have been a good companion of David. David said in Psalm 42:1, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee. O God. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Psalm 63, verse 1 and 2. He falls under the umbrella of that blessing mentioned in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are ye that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Do you have an appetite for God? I lived almost 25 years of my life and had no desire, no appetite for God. Feeding on the things of this world that can never, never satisfy. Do you have an appetite for God? Somehow, and I don't know how, it's beyond me, but there was a thirst, a hunger, an appetite to know God in the free pardon and forgiveness of my sins that took hold of me. And I began to seek the Lord in repentance and faith. Just short of my 25th birthday. And ever since that time, I've had an insatiable appetite. A thirsting to know God. Do you have appetite for God? Are you feeding so much on the things of this world that you have no appetite for God? I tell you, we find ourselves in the situation we're in spiritually in these days in many of our churches because we have people sitting on church pews who have no or very little appetite for God. Oh, listen. He was an old man. He had seen a lot and heard a lot. And he sat in a chair before me there in Australia and he said, with tears running down his face, he said, the day of the preacher is just about past. I said, brother, why do you say that? He said, because the day of the eager hearer is just about past. Why would God raise up a man who would spread a good table? A spiritual table. For those who have no appetite for God. You say the preacher don't preach like he used to. It could be your appetite is not what it used to be. What are you feeding on? Oh, listen, friend. Can you take it straight? You can't feed on TV and video and the things of this world and come to the house of God with a hunger and a thirst in your soul for the living God to spread a table and manifest himself. It is impossible. Appetite. Oh God,
give this preacher an appetite that only you can satisfy. He had appetite for God. That's why he's got two whole verses of prime real estate in the Word of God, where most of the people here only have a little mention. He had appetite for God. Because he had appetite for God, he made an appeal to God. Verse 10 said he called on the God of Israel. You see, if you're praying more now than you've ever prayed, if you're seeking God now more than you've ever sought Him before, it's because that your appetite is what it ought to be. And you're making progress in the Christian life. He made an appeal to God. He appealed for three things here. For a blessing. For an enlargement. For the hand of God with him. And for preservation from evil. He said, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed." You know, we've made a few trips to Australia, and every trip, every airplane, every leg of the journey, they go through it. The flight attendant shows you all the emergency exits and talks about this and that and the other. And should we lose cabin pressure, there's a compartment over your head that will open and down will drop an oxygen mask. And you pull it down firmly and then you fit it over your face. And then you give assistance to others who may need assistance. You see, we like to teach children this, and it's not wrong. Joy. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And the only problem, Jabez never attended that Sunday school. And he didn't know the little acrostic on joy. But he knew this. If I'm going to help others, God must bless me. He must bless me. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me. You know, the theologians talk about common grace. It'd be a wonderful thing if we could lock just about all the theologians up in some intellectual greenhouse somewhere and let us get on with it. They talk about common grace. God sends the rain on the just and the unjust, makes His sun shine upon the evil and the good. Well, I wouldn't know about common grace and special grace, but I do know this. This man wanted some tailor-made grace. You know, the Bible talks about manifold temptations, 1 Peter chapter 1, manifold grace, 1 Peter chapter 4. And Jabez is praying that God would send the blessing to him that he needed. Did you notice that little word in verse 10? Indeed. Now, I told you when I first got up here, you ought to cheer up. It's a lot better than you think. And then I said, maybe you shouldn't, because it's also a lot worse than you think. Well, what I was trying to get across to you is you just don't see the situation as it is. to the fullest extent of it either direction. But God does. And this man had enough sense to pray and ask God to send him a blessing. Not one that just looked like a blessing, but a blessing indeed, a blessing in truth. When the girls either phoned us
or when they got to Australia, they told us about some young man down at Pensacola College who bought a packet of M&Ms and won about $1 million. And I said to them, why didn't you buy that packet of M&Ms? And they said, we don't like M&Ms. Well, I said, I bet you or no other student down there rejoiced in your soul that you didn't get a hold of that packet. No, you see, our thinking's wrong. We think materially and physically mostly. And this man realizes that he doesn't realize. And he's praying that the God of Israel would bless him indeed. The best thing that's happened to me so far is a physical affliction. I'm not just saying it. I'm seeing it. I'm sensing it in my soul. It's a blessing indeed. More grace, Lord. More grace. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me or grace me indeed. Why? Well, look at the rest of it and enlarge my coast. Why does God bless us? To make us a blessing. That's it. He blesses us to make us the blessing. He said, Lord, I want to grow. I've been looking around and I'm not getting much done. And Lord, I'm longing to extend my outreach and Lord, I'm willing to loosen the cords of my tent and pull up my stakes to enlarge the place of my tent, to spread forth my curtains, to enlarge my coast, my outreach. Have you noticed, some of you that have been saved for a while, have you noticed how you like to get in that comfortable rut?
Yes, sir.
And just keep running in it?
Yes, sir.
16 years in Australia. And God said, that's it for you right now in this place. And I didn't realize that I've gotten comfortable. Now you see, wantonness is the sin of youth, and worldliness is the sin of old age. And I'm starting to get old, you know. I'm not far from the youth of old age, 50. Here's a man who's praying a prayer, and he prayed it, and then he prayed it, and he prayed it, and he prayed it, and as far as I can understand it, he prayed as long as he is on this earth. You old saints of God, are you getting a hold of what I'm saying?
He prayed it as long as he was on this earth. God bless me. Oh, God bless me. And enlarge my coast. I want to touch more lives. I want to do more than I'm doing now. Oh, that God would somehow take hold of us. That the Spirit of God would cause it to be more than just my voice. More, not less. Not make my nest and feather it and never stray far from it, but to touch more lives. To touch more lives. Oh, what a great God is ours. What a great God is ours. Don't you feel in yourself, friend, don't you feel in yourself that God has more for you than what you're experiencing? Enlarge my coast. Oh, with fear and trembling we venture forth into new territory. And he did too. That's why he went on to pray, and that thine hand might be with me. That's it. Lord, I'll go if you'll go with me. And the hand of the Lord was with him, it says in Acts chapter 11. And a great multitude turned to the Lord. That's what we want. How are we going to have God's hand on us here in all these ministries of this church? I'll tell you how. For God's good hand to rest on the preacher. And for God's good hand to rest on each deacon. And for God's good hand to rest on each Sunday school teacher. And for God's good hand to rest on each member of this church. For every one of us to take hold of the example of this man. And pray for God to bless us individually. And help us to reach out. And as we go, that we know that the good hand of our God is upon us. I tell you, Nehemiah had a real job before him, didn't he? You read the book of Nehemiah and you realize what that man had to accomplish. The seeming impossibility of the task. But he said, I had the good hand of my God upon me. And that's what Jabez had. That's what he desired. God's good hand. And then he said, that thou wouldst keep me from evil. And he added these words, that it may not grieve me. We're in a battle. Hey folks, we're in a do or die battle. Most people just playing it. We're in a death struggle. And if you set yourself to seek the face of God that He'll bless you and enlarge you. Where you will think about more than yourself and your little number. And He puts His hand on you. Do you think the devil is going to sit by the side and not purpose to do you evil? Oh, listen. He said, Lord, I want you to bless me and I want you to enlarge me. And I want your good hand on me. And then, Lord, I want you to lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. I've been saved almost 24 years. Some of you have been saved a lot longer than that. But I've seen some people that God, I really felt like God was using. And somehow, the devil tripped them up. And that's it. Another casualty. Another person neutralized for the cause of Christ. But this man is praying that God Almighty would keep him from evil. Physical evil, moral evil, spiritual evil. That it might not grieve me. His heart was right. Heart was right. Oh God, don't let evil work its way in, creep in unawares. I told the pastor, I said, brother, I said, God has burdened my heart more in this last year while we've been gone to pray that God would strengthen you and help you to stand for the truth unflinchingly. Stand! The devil has his eye on you and he has evil intentions. He's going to get you. He's going to take some of you to hell. You never called on God. You're going your own way. You're going to have grief throughout a long eternity. He has evil intentions for you. Don't let Him take you to hell. Seek the face of God. Seek His mercy. Child of God, the devil is purposed to keep you from being what God wants you to be. He doesn't care how much you know. He doesn't care how much. The devil was camped on the tree of knowledge in Genesis chapter 3 and he never moved camps. He doesn't care how much you know. But He's purposed to keep you from really seeking God and His power. But not Jabez. Not Jabez.
God said, write it. Here's what he prayed. And he said, tell him that I granted him that which he requested. I answered his prayer. James 4:2. You have not because you ask not. Oh, it's a sobering thought. You have not because you ask not. He's a great God. If somehow you could have a real appetite in your soul for Him. And the sincere desire of your heart is to glorify Him. You can ask what you will. And it shall be done unto you. Anybody here believe that? Anybody here believe the Bible? Well, you know, we're getting ready to leave. Psalm 90 verse 9, talking about the brevity of life, said we spend our years as a tale that is told. Just briefly told and we're gone. But I also like to think that it's saying that after we're gone, they're going to talk about us. Well, they've talked about you while you're here. I'm sure they'll talk about you when you're gone. What are they going to say about you? Well, I don't know what they said about Jabez, but I do know what God said about him. God said he sought my face and I heard his prayer. He got himself on solid ground. He called upon the God of Israel. Jabez was an Israelite, and God made some promises to Abraham and confirmed them to Isaac and to Jacob. And Jabez knew about that God and about the covenant, and he believed that that God is a covenant-keeping God. And he called on the God of Israel. He said, God, I am one of your covenant people, and I'm asking you, bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and put your good hand on me, and keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God said, yes. God punctuated his prayer with an amen. Amen. That's what we want. When we make that prayer to God, we want to hear God say, at the end of that prayer, amen. So be it. Have you found it in your heart, friend, to call on God for mercy? Have you found the place in your life where you came and you fell on your face before God as a hell-deserving sinner and you pleaded with God to have mercy on you for Jesus' sake?
you realize that God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son to bear your sin in His own body on that cursed tree at Mount Calvary? Have you called on God? And as He spoke peace to your soul and said, "Child, thy sins are forgiven thee," if you've never done that, God help you to find that place of repentance and faith before death finds you. And I'll tell you something, He's been looking in the window at your house. And God's going to let Him in one day. If we don't have, are we grieved? Oh, what an evil it is to have no real desire and hunger for God. May God help us. May God help us, starting with me as the preacher this morning and moving right through to all of you and to everybody listening by radio. May God help us. Oh God, do a work in us. This poor sin-cursed world's going to hell. And only God can turn and somehow we could get Him to bless us. He'd use us in that turning process. Well, I've told you what the Lord told me to tell you. Now it's left up to you. I'm going to pray in just a moment, and Brother Smith will come, and we'll have at least two verses of some hymn. There's a bench up here. You can come kneel. One over there. If God's spoken to you, if you sense a need, I don't know a better time to you. If you don't know the Lord, there's nothing I'd rather do than meet you and pray with you and do what I can to help you as you're seeking. If you're saved and you realize the need that you have to really take hold of God, all this puny praying we're doing, oh, this poor dying rate at which we're living. Thank God there's hope. There's hope for you, there's hope for me. It's a lot better than you realize. But it's also a lot worse. than you realize. Don't you think we ought to seek God like we've never sought Him before? That He'd help us to realize how good it is for them who know and love Him, but also how bad it is in the world today, and how much worse it's going to be for them who don't know the Lord Jesus. Would you stand with me, please, and let's bow our heads for prayer. My Heavenly Father, as I come before Thee now, I come first of all to thank Thee for the privilege that's been mine to stand and give out the Word that You've given me. And I'm praying now that You'll bless it. Lord, I'm not asking for the blessing just now alone on it, but I'm praying for the blessing on it as we depart this place this morning. For the blessing on the Word throughout the day and in days to come. Spirit of God, oh, blessed Holy Ghost of God, do that work that Thou hast been sent to do and that Thou alone can do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.